أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره وامتداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today is 7th of Ramadan 1441 after Hijra, equivalent to 30th of April 2020. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Iman and Ihsan, in this wonderful group Irshad al-Ummah, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we will continue our lesson on fiqh al-sharia with the book of Akhdari fi al-ibadati an fiqh Imam Malik. Last week we've talked on ablution. We also talk on things that vitiate ablution, which Malan says they are divided into two. We have al-hadath and asbab al-hadath. We have, as we mentioned last week, so, and Malan started explaining some important things to take note, where he told us that we should take note of things that vitiate wudu, including touching someone's private part with his palm. So continuation from there, you can open the book and we read along. Malam says, وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي حَدَثٍ وجب عليه الوضوء. Whoever doubts a state of impurity. Al-hadath, as we said last week, is things that comes out from your body. Internal impurities coming out from your body and making you as a person to be impure, like passing out urine, defecating, passing out or release of money, release of mazi, release of wadi, and things like that. So those are what we call hadith. So anyone that doubts either he has passed urine, you are doubting, have I passed urine, have I, or yes, I've passed urine, but have I purified myself? Yes, I'm doubt, you understand, that kind of doubt. So whether you don't know the one that precedes the other, you are very sure that yes, you pass urine and you've purified yourself, but you don't know exactly which one precedes the other. It might be probably if purification precedes the urine, so that means you are impure, you have to purify yourself. So those things, when you are in such kind of doubt, wajaba alayhi alwudu, it is compulsory upon you to go and perform ablution. Illa an yakuna muwaswisan, except if you are habitual doubtful. If you are a habitual doubtful, it is your habit, it has become a habit to you. You are always in doubt, you understand. Even the thing that you've done, you don't have that kind of certainty. So there are people like that, they are having some mental issue, but not psychiatric, you understand, but just that they don't have retentive memory to vividly remember all what they've done. So in that kind of situation is considered an excuse, so you don't have to repeat. Once you've done the ablution, then you don't, if that kind of doubt comes, there is no need to repeat the ablution. And not just the one that is habitual doubtful, there are some condition given by scholars, but I don't think he has bring it or bring them here. There is salsal bawli, salsal rihi, salsal mazi, salsal wadi, and the like. And even in case of women, istikhada, damil istikhada, so things like that, meaning someone that is suffering from urine incontinence or incontinence of flatulence, he always flats, you understand, he always release gaseous this thing, he always flats. So in that such in that kind of condition, even while he is performing ablution, maybe the urine is dripping, or he is still flattering, or mazi, someone that is having problem, always sperm is coming out from him. Or in case of women who are in state of istikhada, you understand, istikhada is when the menstrual blood persists, goes above the limit, because there is the highest time it can stay. Muttafaqun alayhi, there is highest time it can stay. There are some that will just observe in one day, some 2 days, some 3 days, five, so like that, till it reach 15 days. That is the limit, the highest limit. So once it passed that 15 days, you understand, so it has become, it's not more a menstrual blood. That one is considered a disease. Probably something happened to some vein that are still releasing blood, but it's not menstrual. So in that kind of case, you perform your ritual bath and continue your obligatory act. Except in each wudu, in each listen, you perform antar da'ali kulli salah. You should be performing wudu in each case. So also the person that is habitual doubtful, so whenever he wants to perform salah, he perform ablution, you understand. So also the person that is suffering from urine incontinence and other things, you understand. Illa an yakuna muwaswasan, except if he is habitual doubtful, fala shay'a alayhi, then there is no harm on him, there is no problem with him. Wa yajibu, it is compulsory, ghusli zakari kulli, he should wash his penis, the whole penis, min al mazi, when he pass out mazi. Wala yaghthulil unsayni, he should not wash the testes. So now he's just trying to tell us how to purify yourself from mazi, when you pass out mazi. Well, mazi, as if you ask, what is mazi? If I may ask, he said, well, mazi huwa al ma, is a liquid or is a water, kharij, that comes out in the shahwatil sugura, in sexual, in small sexual arousal, when you are instigated sexually, but very little, because the level of sexual arousal is like categorized. We have little, we have highest. It depends on what you are doing at that particular period. He continued by saying, bil tafakkuri, by thinking, you are dinting, like you just deep, you are deep thinking on women or on some instance that something that has passed. So that kind of imagination, you will be imagine everything, the picture of everything you will be seeing, you understand. So that can instigate sexual arousal in you. So this kind of sexual arousal. So what's at that kind of condition, what you release usually is mazi. Aw nadhirin, or by seeing, you are seeing something that will instigate you or make you sexually aroused, you understand? So by such look or by such release, usually you release mazi. So that is what is called mazi. It's a liquid that comes out from the private part when or during little sexual arousal. That's what I hope we understand. But to explain further, you can differentiate this by their nature and by the way it comes out. By its nature, mazi and mani, they are the ones that are more somehow have some things in common and very difficult to differentiate. Mazi, the one we are talking here, mazi at times is called urethral discharge. So mazi is a urethral discharge. Usually it comes out in small sexual arousal by looking or by deep thinking, you understand? So nature, by its nature, it's liquid, it's somehow whitish, you understand? It's somehow whitish, and it's whitish, and also it's not thick, it's very loose. So it comes out without, it just come out freely, you understand? It comes out freely. While in case of mani, it is thick, it is whitish, it is milky, so to say, it's milky for male specific. It is milky and it comes out with force, with pressure, it pushes why it comes. At times you have to, you understand, you feel as if, so that's how it comes, with full force. So that's the way to differentiate them. And also their scent is different. For mani, it scent or it smells like death. At times it smells like death. Then when it get dry, it smells like an egg or a vomit. So some that kind of smell. So this way of purifying yourself from mazi was reported from Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajahahu. He said he is in a state of mazi. He released mazi, but he feels shy to ask Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the ruling because of the closeness he has and the position of the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he asks one of the Sahaba called Miqdad to go and ask for him what is the ruling of mazi. Then Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says you should wash the penis, the whole penis, and perform ablution. So that is the that is the purification. You see, now we are getting them one after the other. The last time we talk on urine, we talk on the way you should purify yourself from urine. I think if you refer to our fifth class, you can get that right in case you've missed it. So in urine is just the glans penis, that's the head of your penis, that is expected to be washed, and anywhere the urine touches, you understand? So also for wadi, there is another one called wadi. It is a urethral discharge that comes out at the end of urine, usually seen in aged people from 40 above. But now there is changes, even you can find it in some conditions, some people that are suffering from some ailment or illnesses, So do pass out, or even some young children or youths. So, but then before, it's usually from 40 above. So you see, it is very thick, and it's just like a cloth, something. It will just come whitish. Just once, you understand, you just take it out. So also for that kind of case, you also wash the glans penis only if that comes out. So while for mazi, you wash the whole penis without washing the testes. That is the ruling. When we come to mani now, I think the one that is remaining is for mani. So then for the female is just to wash the private part for each of the ones that comes out, except for mani that will warrant you to perform ritual bath. Continuation, he said, Faslun, this is a topic. He want to explain something, so it's a subtopic still under that. La yajuzu li ghayri mutawaddi'in sala. Sala is not allowed for he who has not performed ablution. La salata liman la wudu'a la. There is no sala for to him who has not performed ablution. So ablution is compulsory because it is stated clearly in the verse of the Quran. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu idha qumtum ila ssalati faghsilu wujuhakum. So salah is not allowed for someone that has not performed ablution. Wala tawafun. So also circumambulation going round the Kaaba. Yeah, going round the Kaaba, that is tawaf. So it's not allowed except if you are in state of ablution, you have ablution. Then next he say, wala masu nuskhatil Qur'anil azim or Qur'anil karim. It is not allowed to touch the text of the Quran in a condition when you don't have ablution. It's not allowed. You have to la masuhu illa mutahharun. No one touches it except in state of purification, except when you are pure, that is you perform wudu, you perform ablution. You don't touch the Quran without ablution. Wala jildihi, you don't touch the cover. You understand? You don't touch the cover of the Quran or the bag in which the Quran is being put. You understand? There is what usually the Aramas that use, we call it, they make it with skin. You understand? So that kind of thing, you will not touch it without ablution. If you go to our malams and then old people, you see they make that particular kind of bag and hang the Quran above. When you go to the room, you see it above highly. You don't put Quran on cupboard or on top of table. It will discuss that if you go deep. I will tell you the reason why I said that. Wala jildihi, you don't touch the cover. La biyadin, you will not touch by your hand when you don't have ablution. Wala biudin, and you not touch with stick. You don't hold, because you don't have ablution, then you touch it with stick. It's not allowed. Wana wihi, and things like that. Wala juz'an illa juz'an, except a portion of it. It's not a complete Quran, but some parts, juz'an, let's say maybe 5 izib or 1 izib or something like that. And lil muta'allimi, that one is for a student. Lil muta'allimi, it for student. A student who is seeking the knowledge of the Quran, or tahfiz, trying to memorize. So that's why it is recommended that you have the one that has parts, not a complete Quran. Just the hizib that you are studying should be. So in that case, even if you are pure but you are not in a state of ablution, you can still use it. You understand? So that is the only condition for a student. Wala masalawhil Quran, and you will not touch the wooden board in which the wooden board use in which the Almajris like me, we use it to write Quran on it. You understand? So if you are not in state of ablution, you should not touch it. That's what Malin is saying. Wala masu lawhil Quran. I think it's called slick or something like that. Yeah. So it's not allowed. Ala ghayri wudu, it without ablution, it's not allowed. Illa limuta'allimin, except for a student, fihi, on it, that is studying on that particular board. Yeah, this is my slick. So, and I'm not in state of ablution, but I can still touch it for the sake of studying. Aw muallimin, or a teacher, someone that teaches on it. Li yusahihihu, so that he will beautify it. Because after writing, you understand, there is what we call darasu. So it is the arama or the malam that you take after you've written it on that wooden board. Then you take it to the malam, then he'll be reading it for you. You understand? So in that kind of case, for the sake of teaching, you can touch even if you don't have wudu. That's you sahihihu, so that you will correct it. You understand? So that you correct it for the student. Wasabiyu, a child, fi mashi mushafil Quran al-Azim kal-Kabir, in touching the text of the glorious Quran, is like an adult. Don't say no, this one is a boy. So also for a small child, it's not allowed for him to touch the Quran, and touching it is like an adult here. There is nothing like play or saying he's small. Well, ithmu ala munawilihi. But the sin of a child touching a Quran is upon a person who gives him. If you give a child Quran, whatever misconduct he did with that, the sin is upon him. You understand? So also, if you keep a Quran where a child can get access with it, maybe you just keep it on the table or in the shelf or something like that, and the child touches it, so maybe and without wudu or something like that, or he even mishandle it, so the sin is upon you. That's why our forefathers and the Aramas, the Nuz, they usually hang it up on the wall inside a bag, so that the hand of a child will not even reach there. You understand? That's the reason they put it under they call it gafaka, for those that speaks Hausa. Well, ithim ala man yumani, the sin is upon the person that gives him. Wa man salla bi ghayri huduin, whoever prays, perform salah, say salah, bi ghayri huduin, without ablution, amidan, intentionally, for who are kafirun, then he has become a disbeliever, an unbeliever. Wa iyaz billahi, we ask refuge from Allah against becoming an unbeliever. So this is where this topic ends. Next we are going into ghusl, that is bath, ritual bath. We'll take it tomorrow, inshallah. Just to say little on this, that he said whoever performs salah without wudu is considered a mushrik or a kafir. It's because it is stated in the Holy Quran that you should not go into praying without wudu. So by you, as they say, except, it's not just like that, maybe due to one condition or something, that or forgetfulness that makes you. That's why he say amiden, If it is intentional, you know. And even intentional, ulama, scholars also further explain. If you make it legal, you said no, you can even perform your salah without ablution. That is the legal. Ablution is not compulsory. So by the time you believe in that or you say it and you legalize it, you are very serious about it. So from then, and if you are playing or playful, that means then there are some punishments of Sharia upon you, even to try to safeguard you from going into disbelieving. So then those things will be punished. You'll be punished upon that. So this is the little we can take to today. You bear with me. Due to Ramadan, we have limited time. That was why I think it is last Friday. I was unable, being it the first day of Ramadan and other condition or excuses beyond my control, make me not to forward this thing of that day. But inshallah, we shall continue. We hope to see the end of the book together and to benefit from it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, wa akhiru da'awana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.